morning. Today is Tuesday, October the 23rd. Joining us this morning is recovering broadcaster Greg Foster.
Yeah, that was many years ago.
Have you recovered?
Every now and then I can put up my radio voice.
Oh, I was thinking more of the brain synapses.
That never recovers. Yeah. Once you're in there, you're dead.
That's what I figured.
You're dead.
Oh, we got a bunch of stuff. Cool stuff to talk about with Greg, but before we do, our why do they say that? Are you ready, sir?
Oh, boy, yeah. These are always so hard.
This one...
You think you know, but you don't.
Why is a London policeman called a Bobby?
Oh, that happened because the first constable's name was Robert blah, 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 blah. I can't remember his last name. They called him
Bobby. What do you do to an orange?
Peel. Robert Peel.
Yeah, all right.
I did know that one.
Ding, ding, ding. You see? Maybe all those synapses aren't totally shot.
Yeah.
Because the London Police Department was organized by Sir Robert Peel. The Bobby was taken from his first name. There is another older term for London policemen that is not used very much now, but was at the time quite popular. Peelers.
Peelers, huh?
From Sir Robert's last name.
I like Bobby better.
I think so. It's
a little more gentle.
Well, yeah, and it's... just doesn't sound like it's a speeding offense.
Right, exactly. Or what's going to happen to you during your interrogation.
Right, yeah. That was the old days. Yeah, boy. Situation over in Turkey.
I have a leather blackjack that my grandfather, great-grandfather
carried. Oh,
really? Carried. Yeah, that he was the first chief of police of the town of Sebastopol. So I have all his badge. And
so why is that town named Sebastopol?
Well, it used to be Annaly, and then it was changed to Sebastopol, and apparently it had to do something with fights that were going on in there in the 19th century or something, and they related it to Sebastopol with a V, Russia, where there were some big conflicts.
Oh, ergo the blackjack.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, yeah, but he was the first chief of police.
All right, good. Glad to know that we've warped another.
right
up there with Dale Nort.
We screwed up. We screwed up Humboldt County, Sonoma County before we came north.
Yeah. I've been sharing last Friday when Karen Deemer was in. I said, and I really do believe that I think the biggest thing that is happened in the last 3 months for this year, this quarter, is going to be the fact there's a direct flight to Denver. I believe that nobody really truly appreciates what this is going to do for our area, not only for commerce, but for just travel in general, being able to avoid those clusters in San Francisco,
right,
in L.A., having the six-hour drive or the four-hour drive to Santa Rosa or to Medford, this is going to be such a huge linchpin. I can't hardly see straight. I'm a little frustrated that we have to wait till June.
Well, yeah.
Now, you've said in the past, Greg, that it's every 6 months.
About every 6 months, they set the schedule, yeah.
So did we miss the 6 month for the end of the year?
Well, there's a lot going on, and this is part of a broader plan that United has for Denver. And we've been talking to United about Denver. We've been talking to a number of airlines about an east direction hub for years. In fact, my wife, when she worked for the county, wrote a grant that's been funding our work for the last few years. REDEC provides the match, but we've been able to use these federal Air Service Development Grant, and so this will also help support the Denver service going forward. We knew Denver was good, and it was a high priority. And you know what we base that on, partially at least, what in our discussions with them over the years, is, you know, we had Delta here in 2008, 2009 that was providing service to Salt Lake. And even though that service started right when the recession was starting, that flight was over 80% full by the end of a little over a year that they were here. So the last few months, we were seeing 80% fills on those planes. And if I recall, it's been 10 years, but we had two departures a day back then. So that was 100 seats.
And 80 is kind of the magic threshold point?
You know, it is. It used to be more like 70. And now it's like 80 and plus. They really like to see a good fill on average. But we knew that we had significant demand going through Salt Lake, and of course that was mostly all connecting traffic on Delta. So people were really willing to, you know, to do that. And so now with this service, which will start with one a day, We think that and great connectivity. And what they're doing is they're what's called a rebank at Denver. So they tend to the way the airline big airlines work on the connecting hubs, they tend to start banks at certain hours, and so they have an early morning bank at Denver. They're doing a
the regular of us look at it as the wave.
Yeah.
It's busy, and then it disappears.
If you ever sat in an airport for very long, you watch it go up and down, right. Up and down. And that's exactly. They're going to have an 11 o'clock bank that leaves Denver, the connecting bank. And so our flight will arrive around 10. So you'll have an hour to make your connection. And we just think that it will be a great addition and gets us to the east much quicker. So.
Well, and I think is critical consistently.
Yes.
That's the bugger, I think, that a lot of us run into in going back to Providence. And it's like, okay, to get San Francisco to be able to have a half a chance, I could risk it.
Right.
No. Or leave, late in the afternoon and get in at 9 or 10 in the morning, and you just suck it up, big guy. And that's really not conducive for business.
No,
or for tourism.
Right, right, exactly. And so, what will be nice about this is, of course, the Denver will be a 6:30. Where they're.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 7:47. I was really.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 6:30 departure. You can get on 11 o'clock and then be on the East Coast within a couple hours after that, which will be nice.
It's beyond nice, man. That's extraordinary. And the other thing that I see that's there is that Denver is a common lifestyle.
Oh, sure.
To our area, we're going to see a lot of folks who, in the past, Rocky Mountain High, well, come on out and see a real tree.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
And it's really simple now instead of all this other goofy stuff.
And we'll talk more about visitors when we get back.
It's 8:30. Okay. Hang on. Key it up. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC.
Yay.
the airplane, I guess in the past, is other than those who are in government,
mm-hmm.
and I will stretch that to include education,
sure,
is probably something that a lot of us really don't consider too often because of the pricing.
Right, right.
To go from A to B is as expensive to go from A to Z in many cases, if you happen to be going out of another airport.
Right, right.
Is there any indication, Greg, with the structural stuff of this, how many seats, how many air flights, what the anticipated cost is, what are we looking at, and is this something that can really be leveraged to help out the local economy here, or is this more of an avoidance of problem areas?
A little of both, I think. And in fact, the best way to control pricing in a market, and this is not just airlines, of course, any market, is by introducing competition. And so even though we have, had some success with the addition of LAX and the addition of Denver, that means we don't stop trying to find a competing brand to come in here.
These are all still United's.
Yeah, these are all United. What we have is all United. And, of course, we really appreciate that they're doing that. No airline is required to be here. They can pull up stakes tomorrow and leave.
But they're not doing it gratuitously either.
Well,
there's got to be money going on
right,
there.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and that's critical, right? And so, often we're told, you need to go out and tell the airlines that we need this. And I said, that is about the worst business recruiting strategy I've ever heard. You need to lower your prices. You know, you need to provide this good or service on my terms, or else, you know, most businesses won't do that, right? They have to be responsive to customer needs, but they aren't going to, you know,
well,
go
it's
to
really
a
easy for somebody, you know, and if a customer did that to you, what would you say?
Exactly. Well, yeah. You I was know, like, oh, really?
Yeah, don't let
hey,
the
Greg,
you
need to give me a loan at 0% and I can pay it back only if I want to, right?
Right.
And I was like, well, no. No,
that's called a will.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, our pitch to these airlines has been and always will be, we believe this is a strong market, and this is why you will succeed, and this is what we'll do to help you succeed in the market. And that's what all airports do, except for maybe the largest hubs, which are, you know, kind of flipped around, where the airports are, the airlines.
They
really
need CTEC. They
right,
need SFO.
Right. And so the airlines really drive much more the development even of those airports. So we, you know, we go out. I would love to flight to the north, Portland or Seattle, and I think I would complete what we have, and especially if we had another brand. So we're going to go out and do that. And it's not like that's a secret. Everybody knows that we do that. Everybody knows, you know, the United won't go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're doing that. They know it. I mean, they see me doing it at the conferences. So
how viable is it, Greg, with the years under your belt now? No, I wasn't going to say gray.
Yeah, there's a lot
grays
of
on your face. Yeah, right. Years on, yeah. To get somebody like in Alaska,
right,
to go to Portland or to go to Seattle out of here, is there that much demonstrated traffic when you follow the string and where people go that says Seattle, or is that more of a cultural thing that Seattle and Humboldt County are kind of kumbaya a little bit, in that we would just naturally do that?
Well, you know, and we do some pretty sophisticated analysis of our market. And one of the things we do know is how many, what we call leakage. So how many passengers are from here who are flying out of other airports rather than originating here.
And so the Medford Santa Rosa is
right.
Driving down the
Bay. And we found, you know, we did that. Our last leakage study was in May of 2016 when we did it. And we found that 50% of the passengers that were flying that with zip codes from our market area were flying from outside the area. So we were keeping half of the passenger traffic and losing half. And so we can also look.
That's got to be disturbing.
Well, it's not good, right? But it's disturbing, but it's also a market that can be captured. So I can go to the airlines and say, listen, you have this many people. Not only this many people, but I can tell you exactly where they're flying to. I can't tell the individuals, right? But
the cumulative.
Right. And I can tell you how much they paid. And so we have that data, and we can go to them and say, this is why we think that if you did this type of service and we, you know, and you're priced reasonably, that you can capture traffic. And, you know, I often hear, and I've said this before here, the old Yogi Berra, which is, you know, no one ever goes to, I can't even remember the place, but no one ever goes there because it's always too crowded.
Yeah, it's too popular.
And so for us, you know, I hear, oh, no one's ever going to fly here because it's too expensive. Well, you know, the LA flight's been in the mid-90s full. The San Francisco flight over the summer was about 74, 75% full. And then we'll see where Denver goes. But it's hard to go to any business and say you're selling all your product, but now we want you to drop the price. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, the 75% one would be, I would think, would be a trigger of concern for them.
You know,
when the other one is so much higher.
Well, and it was 83% in September. Part of the reason is because they dumped a lot of seats in our market, and so they're up. Actually, in raw numbers from, you know, for San Francisco
but
over last year,
is
right?
Up,
but they
more.
Add a lot
yeah.
more seats, and okay. so you know you have the conversation with those folks, which is okay. So if you're going to keep that kind of capacity, you know, is pricing your issue or schedule? Then maybe you want to get it up another 5-10 points, or is it, you know, you want to adjust your capacity, which would mean maybe fewer, you know, some more smaller jets or less frequency. I never encourage less frequency. I always say if you really are concerned about capacity. Downgauge your jets from the 76 to the 50 seaters or something like that.
Or maybe instead of midnight, why don't you switch midnight out to a 3 o'clock in the afternoon arrival, and then some folks are going to be able to take advantage instead of getting squozed, you know, miss a flight somewhere, and then
right.
now that whole plane is gone.
Well, and I'll tell you why that's a tough tough question to ask.
Ooh, a wordsmith question when we come back.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster, Executive Director of REDEC. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by REDEC, hey, by American Ag Credit, by Murphy's Markets, and by Humboldt Termite and Pest Control.
All right.
Greg, the concept of the air capacity or usage in and out of our area, I think there's always going to be a jealousy. We look at Eugene and go, oh boy, look at that. We look at Portland and we look at Salt Lake and go, we could be like that.
We only need a million more people.
Yeah, the big ones, not quite so much. Or even Medford. You know, right. We could be Medford. You know, I have seven airliners. What's realistic? I mean, the optimal build-out is what, three?
You know, two or three, I think, is optimal for us. And, you know, the airlines really is a numbers game, right? And so you can look at something like Medford. And they're going to draw a pretty big circle in their market area, and they're going to have way more population than we do. I mean, they're drawing all the way down to Reading. Now, it's interesting. So it's not only the size of the number of people in your market area, but also how big a circle you can draw.
It's your service area, right?
Right. And so, for example, Reading, which has more people, Shasta County, does about half the traffic that we do.
And out of Reading or
out of Reading.
Flyers in that marketplace?
Right. No. So flyers. I mean, their traffic at their airport, their emplanements, which is, you know, people getting on planes, about half of us. It's probably going to go up because they are adding LAX service in March. But they have
that leakage into Medford.
They have Medford and Sacramento.
And Sac.
You know, Sacramento's now doing 1 million passengers a month plus.
That's why it's so easy to get in and out of there. They can figure it out how to move a lot of people quickly. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, so it's growing quite a bit. Now, 1 million a month, you know, that's 12 million a year plus or minus. That's still only considered a medium-sized hub airport, right? And so you look at LaGuardia, it's 29 million. You look at, you know, like 60 million in some other airports. So it's, you know, it's amazing to see the kinds of volumes.
Now, do you have fun? When I go out, and I'm spending time at, you know, the connecting spots. Do you enjoy just sitting there and just watching as much as I do?
Oh, absolutely.
Watching the planes move, watching the people go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of tough to do work because I'm just kind of watching and, you know, the little shock and awe.
Right. Well, and when my wife and I travel together, of course, she's a facilities and operation person for 15 years.
She's at work. Yeah. She's doing that. But I mean,
she loves going to airports. We watch, you know, it's like, oh, look at this. And she'll look at like, oh, you know, they could route that traffic better through the terminal, or, you know, she's analyzing, but she loves the airport, airplanes too. So we do that. One of the things she does is when a flight's really late or there's a lot of problems, she goes and buys a box of See's candy and gives it to the gate staff.
They're going to get popped
right,
by everybody
and she gets treated very well as a result. You know, so
what a shocker!
Yeah. The other trick is to take lollipops on your carry-on for the crying babies. On the plane.
Gum doesn't work.
Yeah, no.
I found that one out.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, we do love it, and we look at, you know, I fly to a lot of different airports over the year. You know, not that many. I travel maybe once every 6 weeks or so. But, you know, you do watch and see. Look at design issues. You look at customer service. You look at, you know, I mean, when we come in, we go, oh, wow, look at this. We're going to be out. You know, we can see the planes all taxiing in, and there's a gate delay. And we say, oh, you know, this is an airport that's had a lot of growth but hasn't had a lot of gates. So you're waiting on the tarmac. So the airports right now are across the country are getting slammed.
Because there's more?
Just more traffic. The traffic is just going up, up, and up. And so, for example, JFK just announced, I don't know, a week or two ago, that they're getting ready to spend like $13 billion on upgrading JFK. And LaGuardia, which is on the other side or up north, they're building a whole brand new terminal. So they've torn down or going to tear down one of the old terminals and build a new one.
So is there more traffic because it's more economical to fly now than it was, or there's just more demand for people to fly rather than drive?
A little of both. You know, if you look at constant dollars, I mean, people talk about prices, but if you look at constant dollars, what it cost to fly in the 70s and what it costs now, it's much more affordable now. Than people, I used to fly it, for $100, and it's like, well, yeah, in 1978, you also could buy a candy bar for a nickel or something.
Baseball cards.
Right, exactly. So, airline pricing, no one's ever really happy, and tickets can be expensive. I had someone last night talking about, you said tickets were going to be this much for LAX, and I just tried to book something, and I can't remember what it was, but it was higher than, yeah. And it wasn't unreasonable. It was like $500 round trip to LA, but it was over New Year's Day. And I said, well, you're flying in a very popular time. I said, if you leave the next day, it might be cheaper, but also with a flight that's that full, if you're waiting too long, if you book too early, you're paying too much, maybe, and if you're booked too late, you're paying too much. And when a flight's really full, you're getting those last couple seats.
Yeah, when you're scarcity.
Right, and they know that it's scarcity, it's supply and demand. And
that was something I think Rudy Maxa had talked about middle of last week. If you when you're flying, bump it one day.
Yeah,
just see what happens, and you may end up being able to stay a day for free if your schedule allows it.
Right,
you might be able to really take advantage of.
And you can use a travel agent, or you can use Google Flights. And the nice thing about Google Flights or some of those others, you can put the whole calendar up of the month. And you can say, and they'll show you which days are cheaper and which days are more expensive. And if you're flexible, sometimes just by a day. Like I'm flying out on a Saturday from somewhere rather than a Sunday, or a Monday rather than a Sunday. You can save quite a bit.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mr. Foster. Great. A bunch of other things are going on also in addition to the airline stuff
Sure.
that we're so excited about. Housing is something we've talked over months, probably years now, about. With the declining enrollment at Humboldt, is there a loosening up of the housing in the area? I mean, there is some more construction going on, but it doesn't tend to be in the areas where the concentrations are of individuals. Are you starting to see some recognition and some movement in that direction?
I've only anecdotally, I've heard some stories, up in Arcade and other that things are loosening up a little bit.
And Kramer's got his project that's
finishing up.
Going to be on in March.
Actually, some are open, yeah, but. That's good. It's I think a short term thing. In other words, Humboldt State doesn't plan to be having declining enrollment forever. They want to turn that around, and I think that will happen.
But it buys some time.
It does. But what that means is that buys you time to do the right thing, which is okay. So let's really project out where we are and not wait till we get to the crisis point and go, we need to do something, which is unfortunate, but that's the way we deal with a lot of issues. So that's it. We also, though, still hear of a need for either the starter home-sized or the step-down home-sized.
The entry-level.
Right. Either entry-level or step-down where you're going from, you're an empty nester, you may be a little bit older and you want a smaller place. High quality rentals, quality is still an issue that we're hearing, from employers where, people just can't find, they expect a newer or higher quality housing than we have here, especially in the rental market.
Depending on what breed of cat you're bringing to town.
Right. Yeah. And so if you're recruiting someone who's, And I visited a business the other day, and I said, "Where's your hardest labor, you know, problems?" And he goes, "Well, we have them all over, but we really need middle and administrative management, that sort of folks." And so if you know, if you're coming up here and you're hiring someone like that, they're going to expect something of quality. They don't want to necessarily have to step down.
Now, what about in the real estate market? Are those price points available for that monthly payment, or are these folks just not interested in ownership? They're looking more for rental.
No, they are, and some are interested in ownership. But you know, but you want quality ownership, right? And so, you know, we have some really nice older housing stock, and we have some that's not so nice. And 64% of the housing stock in the city of Eureka was built before 1959. So that's
before or that year
before.
Okay, well, we just missed it by about 6 months then.
Yeah, my house was built in 1904 in Ferndale, and, yeah, you know, it's not modern by any stretch.
No, it's historic, isn't it now?
Yeah, well, it's something, that's for sure. Keep leaving the candles burning in there just in case, but they keep going out on their own. So, you know, I think that, you know, we need to address that issue, and we held a housing forum on that, and it was great because we had a lot of We had builders there, we had policymakers there, we had staff there, and one of the great comments I heard from folks, we had three builders in the afternoon speak, and a lot of the other attendees came up afterwards and said, "Boy, listening to them was very educational." You know, I said, "Well, you should be listening to them. They're the ones that are going to be providing the housing that you want, and you need to listen to them to see what incents them to build." What was a little scary about listening to the builders was they all complained. And I talked to another builder yesterday, a large local builder, who says, "We are having a heck of a time finding people to come work for us."
Well, yeah, labor and materials with all the action going on down south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just don't have the labor force.
Well, and the schools are reacting a little bit to that as well. I know CR has got some of their career tech stuff.
We need to do that.
And HCOE does, and Eureka. So there's some movement, but as you indicated, we need it today, not tomorrow.
Right.
It should have been thought of yesterday.
Well, exactly. And, you know, the labor force shortage was predicted years ago. It's just that the recession delayed it.
Yeah. So here we be.
Yep.
Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thank you.
Don't let the door hit you. See everybody tomorrow.